said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. But he wasn't talking about money. Hi, I'm Rob West. Say the words abundant life, and some people might think you mean material blessings. Today, we'll explain why Jesus meant much, much more. Then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, the world's message is come, get stuff, achieve success, have it your way, and be happy. The call of Jesus is come, follow me, and receive abundant life. Maybe you find yourself wavering between the two worldviews. Material success and accumulation are enticing. After all, we are physical as well as spiritual beings, and we long to be comfortable, safe, and happy. What people so often forget is that material things have a shelf life. Stuff doesn't last. In light of eternity, human success means next to nothing. Even happiness is ambiguous. But abundance? That sounds good, doesn't it? Who wouldn't want that? So let's look at what Jesus really means when he promises us abundance and why his way is so much better than anything we could ever ask or imagine. God made us for relationship with himself and with each other as his people. The problem right from the start was rebellion. Since Adam, people have chosen to live life without God, separating themselves from a holy God by a gulf of sin. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is God's answer to the rebellion problem. In Christ, we exchange death for abundant life. In the Old Testament, the term abundance definitely has a more material spin. As God's people were entering Canaan, Moses told them in Deuteronomy 28:11, "The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you." Then in Psalm 31:19, "How abundant are the good things that you have stored up for those who fear you, that you bestow in the sight of all on those who take refuge in you." Many of those promises of abundance were conditional. The people had to be faithful followers of God. But like us, they just couldn't manage it, and they ended up losing their abundance over and over through disobedience. And then Jesus changed everything. People on their own couldn't seem to live abundantly without slipping into greed or fear or idolatry. In Christ, abundance becomes real and permanent because it's not about things anymore. It's about a person. Look at Matthew 6:33. "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Material needs and desires can take a back seat when we have a relationship with God through Jesus. We have what we need materially and an abundant life in Christ in the bargain. It's the life in Christ that's most satisfying instead of the money or success or stuff. So here's the question. If what Jesus offers us is so much better, why do we settle for anything less than abundance? Well, three reasons come to mind. First, we are self-centered by nature. We're so busy trying to justify our own desires and assumptions that we forget. This is not all about me. This is all about Jesus. The second reason people miss the abundant life is lack of personal engagement. Sometimes our interaction with the Almighty is at arm's length, and our understanding of God's Word is secondhand. Podcasts, sermons, and devotionals are fine, but we need to read God's Word and pray ourselves in order to know God and mature in the faith. When we earnestly, personally seek the Lord, our Good Shepherd will lead us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Thirdly, we can miss out on true abundance because we're only going halfway with Jesus. We come to Him to deal with our guilt, but not to be our Lord. Is salvation just fire insurance for you? Submission is the second half of the equation, and that's a bit harder for some folks to swallow. We want Jesus to bail us out of our sin, but not to direct our path. The bottom line for abundance, then, the way Jesus meant it, is Jesus himself. Money, success, and material possessions are poor masters. Work and family are God-ordained things, but even those are secondary. When Christ sits on the throne of your life takes on a kingdom shine. You don't have to be a theological superstar, just an ordinary person who says yes to Jesus as Savior and Lord. Ultimately, when Jesus calls us to the abundant life, He's calling us back home. The life He promises is satisfying, joyful, safe, and eternal. Not just later, but starting right now. All right, your calls are next at 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. What does the Lord want me to do? It's a question we ask when we first turn to Christ and trust in Him for salvation. It's a question we wrestle with as we grow in faith. It's a process of learning that the Lord does guide us through our lives, but He isn't a micromanager dictating our every move. More than a specific career or life path, the Lord wants us to be holy. Psalm 34:12 telling us the Lord's will for our life. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Peace instead of evil or harm. Peace. Pursue it. It only comes in Christ. Peace with the Lord and joy forever. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit GetAnchored.com.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Take a time out in the corner.
Refuse to allow anything, whether they be relationships, whether they be friends and family members, whether they be a Supreme Court refusing to hear a case, whether they be any election results, no matter what it is, refuse to allow those things to eclipse the preeminence of Christ in your life.
The Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, weekday afternoons at 5 Central on AFR. The podcast is available anytime at afr.net.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. All right, I'm ready to go. It's time to take your calls and questions today on anything financial. The number to call is 800-525-7000. We've already got some calls coming in, but perhaps room for a couple more. 800-525-7000. Whatever's on your financial mind today, we'd love to tackle it. Living, giving, owing, or growing God's money, that's all in play. Again, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's dive in. We're going to begin today in New York. Hi, Alice. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
So I'm 62, planning to retire at 67. I've always carried long-term disability insurance as I'm in a higher risk profession, so a nurse. I'm wondering at what point it makes sense to stop the policy. I haven't had a need for it. As I get older, the premiums go up. They're about 62 a month. I think it's a fairly good policy. I'm just not sure, you know, if I should continue with it.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. You know, workers' comp may not be enough to meet your needs if you're injured on the job, and not available at all if you're injured off the job. So I would just say, if you can afford it, I would keep taking this insurance for as long as you're working, if you're able to, okay. Just because this really will provide a valuable stopgap in the event that you have a disability.
Okay, that's helpful. I do appreciate that.
Sure.
And then just a second question. I heeded your advice. I do have an I-bond, and I know your current advice is to maybe, you know, move that money elsewhere. But how I've allocated that in my planning is for my funeral expenses. So my son is a beneficiary. It would be payable on death. And that kind of just covers those expenses. I'm wondering if that is an okay thing to do. It takes the stress off of me, and I think the stress off of my family. I don't want to work with a local funeral home because they may not be living, you know, there when
No, that's great. I mean, that gives you ultimate flexibility. So the question is just where to keep that money to have it safe and liquid. And certainly that's one way to do it. With the payable on death, a POD, that would pretty quickly become available. He could then redeem that and transfer it to another account electronically and then have those funds pretty readily available. It may take just a little bit longer than, for instance, if you were to, you know, have it in a high-yield savings account with a POD on it as well. But we're talking a matter of days. So I think that's fine. I like that plan. Obviously, it's safe and secure, about as risk-free as you can get, backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. It's earmarked for that purpose. And then I like that it's going to pass outside of probate with that payable on death. So I think you're well planned on that, Alice. I like that a lot.
All right. Well, I think I'm well planned because of all of your advice. I recently moved a fraction of my savings into a high yield savings account. So thank you for that. And just thank you for everything you do. I listen almost every day and heed much of your advice. And I probably should have been more financially informed, you know, prior to this, but you've helped greatly. So thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, Alice. That means a lot. And call anytime. May the Lord bless you. 800-525-7000. We've got two lines open. Feel free to call right now with your financial questions today. To West Virginia. Hi, Carol. How can I help?
Hello. That was really quick. I didn't expect you to answer me that soon.
No problem.
Just recently moved my retirement out of thrift savings into a checking account, and of course, they took 20% out for federal taxes. And I need to figure out whether I can invest that, or I should invest that in my local credit union, where I can get a 5% guaranteed CD, or if I should try and roll that money over into some other tax-deferred investment to avoid losing that penalty.
Yes, very good. How long ago did you pull that money out?
It was just deposited in my account this past Monday.
Okay.
Yesterday.
I guess the question I would have is, are you sure you want to do that? Would you rather leave it in the TSP and then perhaps roll it out to an IRA? You'd have the same options available to you, like putting it in a CD or putting it in a bond, a money market, but it wouldn't become taxable until you need it. So if you just plan to leave it there and let it grow, you could keep it in that tax-deferred environment. So I guess that would be my first question. But give me your thoughts on that.
Well, I don't even know if I could put it back into thrift savings.
Yeah, you should be able to. You know, you have the option, you know, to usually within 60 days to put that back in. I mean, you could certainly ask that question. So that would be one thing that I would look at. But beyond that, how are you viewing this money, Carol, just in terms of the time horizon on it? Is this something you think you're going to tap into in the next, let's say, 3 years?
Well, I'm not dependent on that money. I have a retirement with the government already under civil service, and my husband has a good income as well. I'm not dependent on this investment with the thrift savings. And I was already having an allotment sent to me monthly from it, and I just saw this opportunity to get a 5% return on a CD with my credit union, and thought I really didn't want to leave it in the thrift savings plan. I was ready to pull it out.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. So I think, again, if you're wanting, you know, ultimate safety on this, this is a unique window of time where you could put it into a CD, get a nice yield on it at about 5.5%. I'd probably look online for one of the online banks. You're going to do better than your local brick and mortar bank. If you check out bankrate.com, you could find some options. And it does look like, you know, the typical ability to return money distributed from a 401k within 60 days perhaps may not apply to that TSP. So you may not be able to reverse that now that you've pulled it out. But I think the bottom line is I like your plan. I mean, the only other thing you might look at is if you want to kind of move up the risk curve just slightly, you could, you know, put it in a concentrated in a bond portfolio, maybe with, you know, 20 to 30% in the form of stocks. You'd do that through mutual funds, given the amount we're talking about here. But if you'd really rather stay on the you know, much more conservative end of the spectrum, you know, there's nothing that's risk-free, but with a CD, with FDIC and insurance, you're as close to it as you're going to get. You know, at 5.5%, I'm thrilled with that rate right now. It won't be available forever, but you might as well take advantage of it.
Well, thank you. I really needed that assurance. I was wondering if I had done the right thing.
All right. Very good, Carol. Listen, all the best to you and your husband in this next season of life. I'm sure God has some great things planned for you all. And call anytime. We appreciate you being on the program today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Daryl in Texas, we're going to come to you after the break. I want to be sure to give you enough time to ask your question about home title fraud insurance, well, or so-called insurance. We'll talk about that. I do have some thoughts on your question. And folks, we have room for you as well with some lines open today. Any financial question is in play. We want to help you process it through the lens of Scripture and apply biblical wisdom as you seek to be found faithful in being a steward of God's money. The number to call, 800-525-7000. Hey, let me also remind you, here in the last 2 months of the year, this is an important time for us to hear from you with your financial support. As a listener-supported ministry, we rely on your gifts. If you find this program helpful, we'd invite you to contribute at faithfi.com. Click give. That's faithfi.com. Just click give. We'll be right back.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day, banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Sometimes it can be hard to catch each live broadcast. This could be due to your job, school, or just life in general. We understand, which is why you don't have to miss out. The AFR podcast page is where you can find all of your favorite shows. Whether it's old or new, you can listen and download each broadcast that you've missed, including the ones you've already heard. Just visit the podcast page at afr.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
This year has just flown by. I know, it's already November.
As this year comes to a close, the AFA Foundation would like to invite you to make a planned gift to American Family Association. Consider the many ways your planned gift can help restore a biblical worldview in our nation, as well as bring financial stability to your family. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit our website at afafoundation.net.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Hey, we've got some lines open today for your financial questions. You can call right now, 800-525-7000. Let's head back to the phones. Daryl is waiting patiently in Texas. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. I hear on the radio these commercials about the home title lock insurance or something like that. They said that they can go into the public records and create a document and get loans on your home, sell your home, and you don't know anything about it until the bank forecloses on your home. And I figured you might would know something about that. You know, if I'll let you go and you can speak on it.
Okay, yeah, Daryl, I appreciate you asking about it. Yeah, I'm not a fan of these simply because there's really nothing they can do to prevent somebody from fraudulently, getting your name retitled in their name, transferring, essentially fraudulently transferring the deed to their name, which then would allow them to take out a loan in your name. The bottom line is you can do this yourself. A lot of county records office will have the ability for you to place an alert on your deed such that if there was any material changes to the deed, you would be alerted, and there's not going to be any cost to you to do that. The bottom line is if somebody does this, it's wrongful foreclosure because if they fraudulently put the deed in their name, then take out a loan against it, and the loan is not paid, and they try to foreclose on your property, well, at the end of the day, it's still fraud. So they can't legally take the property from you because the person who took out the loan, it was not legally in their name. So there's really nothing they can do that you can't do yourself, and therefore, I wouldn't be paying somebody for a service that really, doesn't stop anything other than perhaps giving you a notification. But again, you can do that on your own. So I wouldn't worry about this. It doesn't mean that it doesn't happen. It certainly does. I just don't think this lock, insurance or policy, whatever they call it, it's really somewhat of a misnomer, and it's just not an effective product. So I'd pass on it, and if you're concerned about it, I'd call your county records office and see if you can place an alert on your account. Thanks for calling. We appreciate you raising this one. It's a good question. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Give us a call with your financial questions today. Let's stay in Texas and talk to Michelle. Go right ahead.
Hi. Yes, sir. Thank you so much. What you do is extremely important, so God bless you for that.
Thank you.
I just wanted to ask the question of I have a 401k, and I've got it. Actually, I'm not contributing to it, but my company contributes for me. It's called like a safe harbor.
Yeah.
And but I do have it in just cash, kind of just the safest thing you can do. Everything else is like mutual funds, and I want to be biblically responsible, and so I don't put it in anything except the cash. And I just wanted to know how you feel about that. Is that unwise? Or, I mean, it's not earning very much, obviously.
Sure. Yeah, no, I appreciate this question, Michelle. And I can also appreciate that you want to honor your convictions and your values in your investments. The challenge is with 401ks that, although some 401k plans are adding some of the faith-based investing fund families, many of them don't yet have them. Now, the good news is this whole space of faith-based investing where you have investments that are intentionally aligned with the values of Christians, either avoiding certain companies or embracing others, that whole space is growing, and it's growing rapidly, which means those 55 new products, for instance, in the last 3 years in this space. That's good news because what it means is they'll become more and more
available in 401ks in the days ahead, but you may not have any of them today. So how do you approach that? Well, the last thing I'd want you to do is to tell you to violate your conviction. So at the end of that, at the end of the day, it's really between you and the Lord as to how you go about this. Obviously, your ability to offset inflation and grow this money so you have something in the future that you can depend on to supplement Social Security, which was never intended to cover more than 40% of your pre-retirement income, means you're going to have compounding growth. And it's going to be very difficult to get that in the cash account. You know, right now we've got a little bit of a benefit in terms of the interest rates are higher. They won't be there forever, and the Fed is going to try to lower them as soon as it possibly can, just, you know, once inflation is under control. And so, you know, I think you're kind of in this dilemma where, you know, you don't have access perhaps to the faith-based investing options, and you don't want to be misaligned with your values. So I would say, you know, you've got a couple of choices. One, you could, you know, look at more of the bond type options in there. There's probably a bond mutual fund. The second is you could certainly do the cash account. The third is you could, you know, look at the mutual fund options in there and actually have an advisor help you do some screening against the companies that are in it just to see whether or not you could feel comfortable with them. The other option is you take the matching that comes automatically through the safe harbor, but then you try to do the, you know, more of your retirement investing outside of that 401k. You know, you could fund an IRA every year. You know, so that would be one option, and you'd have a lot more control over those investment options there. Does that all make sense?
Yes, sir. And that's a good idea, because I don't actually even contribute. It's just my company contributing, which is wonderful.
Right.
So it's almost like an extra gift.
It is. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The only downside to all of this is you don't have the contribution amount in the IRA anywhere near what you're going to have in the 401k. You know, so the 401k contribution limits for 2023, you know, are $22,500. Whereas you're only at $6,500 for an IRA. So you're going to kind of quickly max that out, and you may want to be able to put away more than that, and your only option to do that is going to be in that safe harbor.
Okay. Well, that's good to know, too. Thank you so much.
All right, Michelle, thanks for calling today, and I appreciate your kind remarks about the program. It means a lot. Well, folks, we're up against another break, so we're going to head to that break here in just a moment. But thanks for your calls today, your kind remarks about the program, and I'm ready to take more of your questions. We'll get to those just after this break. If you have a financial question today, maybe it's on the future of the economy. I know we had a caller who couldn't hold, wanted to talk about the U.S. national debt. Or something more personal in your financial life, paying off your own debt or getting your credit score up or giving wisely. Any of it's in play. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
I love AFR. You say it's on the radio too?
Here at American Family Radio, we know that many people find their audio entertainment in other places than the radio. So our programming is available with the AFR app on Apple and Android devices, through Amazon Alexa, and now available on Roku.
I just love the podcasts.
That too. American Family Radio, streaming or podcast, now available wherever you are. And we're on the radio.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have three money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
Greetings, everyone. I'm Dr. Matt Ayers, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary. Most Christians only know the Bible at a surface level. We believe it, but do we really know it? I want to invite you to join the Wesley Institute presented by Wesley Biblical Seminary. The Institute's a 9-month program that will give you an in-depth understanding of all 66 books of the Bible taught by seminary professors. You can join live from anywhere in the world or watch the class videos on your own schedule. To learn more, visit wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
Oh, we use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Well, it's November, and you know what that means. Time for Operation Christmas Child. That's right, here at American Family Radio, we're delighted to partner once again with Samaritan's Purse and Operation Christmas Child. We're coming up on National Collection Week. In fact, now through November 20th is Operation Christmas Child, where you can share the good news of Jesus Christ to children around the world through a simple shoebox gift. That's right. Every shoebox gift is an opportunity to share about Christ and God's love and bless some children in another part of the globe with some Christmas presents right there in that shoebox. You can pack your shoebox now with any standard size shoebox and drop it off during the third week of November, which is Collection Week. This year, that's November 13th through the 20th, and shoeboxes will be collected across the country at more than 4,500 drop-off locations. If you'd like to learn more or check it out online, just go to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. That's SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. You can learn all about it, get the details, and find a drop-off location near you. It's Operation Christmas Child now through November the 20th. All right, let's take some more calls today. We've got two lines open, 800-525-7000. Let's go to Alabama. Hi, Jane.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, my question is, I'll go into a store, you know, and they're having, if I use their download or get their credit card, then they give me a percentage off at that time or things like that, special things. So I've done that over the several years, but I don't use those cards except that time. I have one bank card that I use. Mm. Are those against me? Should I get rid of them? You know, or should I try and close them? What should I do with them? Because I don't use them anymore.
Yeah, I can appreciate that, Jane, and I understand why you opened them in the first place to get that discount. I would close them. You know, the only thing to consider is when you do, you are going to probably see a temporary decline in your credit card. Not your credit card, but your credit score. It'll be modest. It won't be significant, but it certainly does happen. Let me ask you this. Are you in the market anytime soon for a new loan? Like, would you be buying a car and you need to borrow some money or, you know, something like that?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm 87 and I don't really, you know, I just spend what I do and I don't plan on, as long as my car and everything works, I don't plan on. So the credit rating would not affect me.
Yeah, very good. So then that really is not a factor here. So the bigger issue is just that every active account that you have is one more account that can be compromised. You know, whether that's, you know, they have a data breach and they get in and get your information, which
theoretically can happen whether the account's open or not. But in terms of somebody compromising the account, getting access to your number, charging, you know, things fraudulently, every account you have open, you really need to be monitoring it each month, even if it's a zero balance. And so by closing it, that's going to take that one out of the mix, and therefore it's one less account you need to keep up with. So I think just kind of given the prevalence of data breaches and, you know, account electronic financial fraud, I would go ahead and close those store cards that you don't plan on using. You just want to call the number on the back of the card, tell them you want to close it, ask them to send you confirmation in writing. And then probably 60 days later, I'd just check your credit report at annualcreditreport.com and just make sure that on each of the three credit bureaus that those accounts are showing closed.
Okay. All right. Well, that's what I wondered. I appreciate so much your help. You've been such a help to me. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, Jane, and I appreciate your call today. And thanks for your kind remarks about the program. That means a lot. Let's go to Virginia. Hi, Ann. Go ahead.
Hi. I have a question. I've got my retirement funds in an annuity, and it used to be managed by Allianz, but Charles Schwab bought Allianz out. I'm just curious if the Charles Schwab is related to the Schwab that's in that global reset thing, and if they invest in faith-based companies.
It's a great question, and I'm not familiar with any ties to Schwab, from Schwab to what you're describing. The nice thing about Charles Schwab is that they're, you know, basically a platform that gives you access to any investments that you want. So you can absolutely buy any of the faith-based investing funds on the Schwab platform. Are you still in an annuity product at this point?
Yes.
Okay. And have you looked at the investment options inside of it to see what's there, or is this a fixed annuity?
I don't know the answer to it. Well, I know the answer to one. I have not researched it.
Okay.
And but the answer to the other one, I'm not sure it's fixed or not.
Okay. And do you have an advisor that you work with, Ann, or did you just work directly with Allianz?
Yes, I have an advisor.
Okay. Yeah, I think this is a good time for you just to go back to your advisor and say, you know, listen, can you just explain to me again exactly what I've got here? Is this a fixed annuity? If it is, then there's just a guaranteed interest rate that they're, you know, giving you each year. If it's a variable annuity, then there are some what are called sub-accounts, which are basically just mutual funds inside. And perhaps your advisor could explain to you what options you have in there or how the return is calculated. But I don't have any problem, Ann, with you being at Schwab as opposed to Allianz, just from a faith-based investing perspective.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome, Ann. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate it. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got room for a few more questions today. Whatever's on your mind, we'd love to tackle it with you. You can call right now. Again, 800-525-7000. Let's head back to Texas. Hi, Karen. Go ahead.
Thank you. I have a question. It's kind of takeoff from a prior person calling. I thought I heard you say she could have changed her IRA into a CD. Could I do that? It's just a traditional IRA. Can I somehow do it without penalty and put it into a CD?
Yeah, well, what I was saying is you can actually hold a CD in the IRA. So basically, it allows you to keep the money in the IRA and you buy a CD inside of it. And so what you would want to do is just talk to your advisor or the bank or custodian of your IRA and just let them know that you would like to buy a CD inside of it. And, you know, that would be fine to do. And then what that's going to do is that, you know, as that CD earns interest, it will not be taxable as it would normally be until you take the money out. And then as you withdraw the money from the CD, or not the CD, but from the IRA in retirement when you need it, then it's treated as income and you'd pay tax on it at that point. So you just keep it right there in the IRA and then buy the CD inside of it.
Okay. This IRA is with my advisor, but I'm thinking about buying a CD from a different, let's say, Goldman Sachs. But, you know, maybe my current advisor has an equal percentage point CD, right? Because I'm just not thinking he's going to want me to buy a CD from another company,
right?
You know?
Yeah, no, I can certainly understand that. I would just kind of talk him through what you're looking to try to do and have him give you the rates. And then if you had to transfer it out, you'd just want to do a CD IRA at another institution that gives you the rates you're looking for. I've got to hit a break here. Stay on the line, Karen. We'll finish up off the air. We'll be right back.
As I say so repeatedly, the Word of God is so rich. You read something, you've read it before, and then one time you read it and bam! Something comes out like a Sugar Ray Leonard jab, right in the eyes. Whoa, Lord, where did that come from?
The Hamilton Quarter with Abraham Hamilton III, weekday afternoons at 5 Central on American Family Radio, or grab the podcast at AFR.net.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers real truth for today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Well, here in our final segment today, we'd love to hear from you. I've got a few lines open. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. What's on your mind? Give us a call, 800-525-7000. Again, that number is 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Hey, let me mention something quickly before we talk to Mary in Texas. You know, we've had some calls recently just about credit cards versus debit cards. Let me mention one thing that a lot of folks fail to realize, and that is, you know, they often will opt for a debit card just because there's not the chance that you could spend money that you don't have. And I completely concur with that. If credit cards, you know, are going to get you into a problem situation where you're spending beyond your means, then you need to cut them up. It's just not worth it. Now, if you have good financial disciplines in your life and you're only using a credit card for budgeted items, then I'm completely fine with it. We use ours every month. We have one that gives 2% back on cash back on every purchase. We only use it for budgeted items. We pay it off in full at the end of the month, and that's the way it's always been. Now, one of the benefits to the credit card is in terms of fraud and liability. I had a friend just tell me yesterday that his account was compromised. They had lost their card, didn't realize it. By the time they found out that their debit card had been lost, somebody had charged $6,000 on it. Well, that money came right out of the account, the checking account. Now, this was one of the online banks. I won't mention which one it is. But they said, listen, we're going to do our research on it, and we'll restore your account at the conclusion of that, but it could take 21 days. Now, this is $6,000 that's no longer in his account for 3 weeks. At that point, it will likely be refunded to them because the card was lost. They had promptly reported it. They're technically not liable for it. but the money's gone. Now, they happen to have more than that, a good bit more in this particular account. But if you were living right up to the edge and that account was gone, now all of a sudden you've got recurring charges that are hitting that account that are insufficient funds. You're going to have extra fees and expenses, not to mention the hassle factor. So one benefit of having that credit card is that same thing occurs. You lose that card. They charge the same $6,000. There's no money that's left your account. Those are just sitting on your credit card statement. And as long as you report that on a timely basis, you're never going to pay a dollar toward those fraudulent purchases. The credit card company is going to handle that for you. So just something to keep in mind when it comes to debit cards is, yes, you have protection against fraud, but that money is often leaving your account for a period of time before you get it back. So just keep that in mind as you think about credit versus debit. All right, back to the phones we go here in our final segment. Let's go to Texas. Hi, Mary. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thank you for what you do. I just have a question. I'm 65, and my retirement age is 66 and 8 months. I think I told the screener a different time, but I'm checking it now. And it's 66 and 8 months. So far up to date, I've lost $7,000 in my retirement money. And, you know, the guy, my financial guy, just keeps telling me, just hang in there, just hang in there. And I do plan on working as long as I can. But, you know, I played a lot of sports. My joints are just not holding up. I'm on medication. And I have a business that I run. It's a courier business. So I'm on my feet moving a lot, which I know is probably good, but it's just painful. So I just don't know how long I'm going to be able to do this.
Yes.
But I'm just wondering, should I be worried about, I mean, so far I'm up to 7,000. That was the last time I checked that I lost. And yeah. I just don't think I can afford to lose any. I've only got about a little over 100 in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Mary, let me just say, I mean, I completely understand your concern. I realize your proximity to retirement is weighing on you, and nobody likes to watch their statement go down, and it's kind of counterproductive, it seems at least. Why would I just continue to stay in these investments only to open my statement every month and seeing them fall? And on top of that, we are likely headed towards some sort of a recession next year. And, you know, we could see the market retest its lows from last October, which means we could go down a considerable amount even beyond what we're at today. The reason you would stay in the market, despite everything I just said, is because you, even when you reach retirement, you can still have a long-term perspective. You know, at your, you know, if you're in good health and the Lord tarries, I mean, your life expectancy once you reach 65 is 86 years old. So you need this money to last decades. And the challenge is the only way to overcome the loss of purchasing power, which is what happens to our money. It becomes, you know, less and less, you know, effective in making purchases because of inflation. It's eroding our purchasing power. The only way to overcome that is through investing in companies, whether it's through bonds, debt, or stocks, equities, where they're growing, they're providing value to their shareholders. And despite the kind of ebbs and flows of the market based on the overall economy and so forth, you know, the long-term trend is up. I mean, if you look at the S&P 500 over the last 100 years, it's averaged over 9% a year. Now, that includes the stock market crash of 29. It includes the, you know, the dot-com bubble in 99. I mean, you know, you've got all, it includes the financial crisis in 2007, 2008. So we go through these periods, but we stay the course. And the reason is we just can't time the market. There's no way for you to know when to get out and then when to get back in. And if you don't get back in, you're going to miss the recovery. And then the question is, yeah, you can get 5.5% in a CD today, but you're probably not going to be able to get that 2 or 3 years from now because the Fed's going to try to get the interest rates back down. And then what? So, you know, I think the key is to make sure that you have the right investment mix. And once you know that you have the right mix in your portfolio, stocks to bonds and maybe some precious metals, then, you know, I think you just kind of keep that long term and say, okay, even though I'm only 3 years out from retirement, I need this money to last potentially, Lord willing, the next 30 years. And so the way I do that is by, you know, continuing to focus on the long term. What is the right investment mix at 68? Probably, you know, somewhere around 40% in stocks and maybe 60% in bonds. Potentially, if you want to be even more conservative than that, you could be maybe 10% in precious metals like gold, maybe 30% in stocks, 60% in bonds. And by the way, the bonds will do very well as interest rates come down, which will probably start sometime next year. So listen, at the end of the day, this is your call. You're the steward. God has entrusted this money to you, not to your advisor or anyone else. But I like the idea of you continuing to stay invested and keep a long-term perspective, even at age 65. Does that all make sense, though?
Well, I'm just going to trust what you say because that's the main reason I called, because I don't, of course, I see it the way I see it. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make 100% sense to me, but I trust you over me. And it's pretty much what my representative of my account, or whatever you call him, that's pretty much what he's telling me. But he's kind of young, and so yeah. I'm thinking, does he really even know?
Sure.
I'll do it. I'll just leave it there. I've been with this company for a long time, and, you know, other than 2008, I believe it was, that it took a dip, but it's you know, I think he has me in low risk funds so that yeah. I'm barely creeping up.
Yeah.
But I just feel like that's the best because I just don't want to. I'd rather have something than nothing. I don't want to be too chancy.
Yeah. You know. No, I can certainly understand that. I will tell you the fact that you're only down about 7% in this environment. I know it. You don't want to be down anything, but it's not. That's not a bad. Unrealized loss. Remember, you haven't lost anything until you sell something. These are unrealized losses, and a decline of 7% in a market like this is not bad at all. And the other thing is, keep in mind, while you're still working, assuming you're still contributing to this, you're buying with the same monthly contribution, the same dollar amount, you're buying more shares of those investments. So this is actually a great buying opportunity for you to continue to, you know, accrue more investable assets in the portfolio, because as the market recovers, those investments that you're buying at a discount today are going to do well over time. So I think the bottom line is here, I like the idea of you maintaining a long-term perspective and staying the course as hard as I know it can be. So hopefully that's helpful to you, Mary. We appreciate your call today. Thanks for being on the program. Let's head to we're going to stay in Texas. Monty, go ahead.
Good morning.
Hi there.
Good morning, Ralph. Can you hear me well?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, my question is, I have, I'm only using one active credit card, and I have about four credit cards that I don't use. What is the ramification if I want to cancel it? I don't want to have those cards just in case it be stolen or misplaced. So what is the ramification if I just cancel?
Yeah, I mean, I would probably limit it to closing two every 6 months. The reason is it's just going to have an effect on your credit score. And the main issue is two things, two of the five factors that make up your credit score. One is what's called credit utilization. So it's the total balance you're carrying versus the limit of what's available to you. And as you cancel these cards, the limit comes down, which means any balances you're carrying, even if you're paying it off at the end of the month, it's still being reported to the bureau. It's a higher percentage of the overall limit. And if you get above 30%, that's going to pull your score down. The other is history. So if you've had these accounts for a while, that history is coming out. I like the idea of you closing them if you're not using them and don't plan to. I would just try to limit it to two every 6 months. And if you're planning to go buy a car or a house and you need to qualify for a loan, I'd wait till you do that first before you close the accounts. I hope that helps, Monty. Thanks for your call today. Folks, that's going to do it for us. On behalf of my team today, Robert Youngblood, Robert Sutherland, and Devin Patrick, I'm Rob West. This has been Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Have a great day and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.